Hey everybody, Stu Smith here, going live. Just checking in with you, seeing if this trying to go live on Instagram as well. We'll see if this works. Should be able to make this happen. And give me a second. So today we're going to talk about a favorite workout of mine. I call the Sam Baby Devil Murph. So for you guys over on Instagram who are just coming in, the Sam Baby Devil Murph, I just posted on my Instagram site the actual workout, and I'll share it on the screen here because I'm actually going live here, but with Instagram, two Facebook pages, and YouTube Live. In fact, these lives, if you can't stick around anymore, they're all on my YouTube channel, Stu50Smith. So you guys can check those out. If you've missed them in the past, I do live Q&As every Monday and Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Monday is, I start off with talking about a workout that we're doing this week that I really like, and then we go into live Q&As. And then on Tuesday, I do a share a screen workout where I'm posting videos that were submitted over the week of combat swimmer stroke or other swimming events, and we discuss and critique those. So if you got swimming videos you want me to critique, send them to me. I will do them personally, as well as if it's a really good one that a very common mistake that is made, I'll post it up on live and I'll critique it live so other people can also see it. So this weekend we did a workout called the Sam Baby Devil Murph, and it is one of my favorite workouts to do. It is actually three different workouts combined into one. That's why it's got the funny name. It is a Sam Baby, Sam Bag PT. It is the Murph. And it is the Devil's Mile, all rolled into one. So if you're not familiar with what those are, you have Devil's Mile is a quarter mile bear crawl, quarter mile lunge, quarter mile fireman carry or farmer walk if you don't have somebody, and a quarter mile burpee broad jump. But something we've been doing in place of that, depending on the event, is doing a quarter mile chest carry log run. So you and your buddies are on a log and you chest carry run a quarter mile. So it shortens up the workout a little bit, but that is a very tough event too. You can do it with a sandbag as well. So that's what we did. And I can share my screen, I think. Let me share my screen and I'll show you guys this. New workout that I just posted. That's also an article. So if you want to read more about it, you can go to Google and actually search Sam Baby Devil Murph and you'll find it. So it explains it. I actually put it in a new article that I just posted in the description of the YouTube. It's called a Tactical Groundhog Week. It's pretty good. So anyway, let me share my screen with you if I can. Tab here. Yeah. So this is my Instagram page. And what you guys who are live over on Instagram to do is just go over to my Instagram page and see this latest post. It's a bunch of pictures with a sandbag. It's a homemade sandbag we do. You can use your own sandbag if you don't have one. We do squats, lunges. We run up a hill. We do pull-ups, we do push-ups, we do sandbag carries, we do fireman carries, we do bear crawls, do overhead push presses with a sandbag or a set of weights. Yeah, it's just a fun workout. So the workout starts like this. You run a mile, do 100 push-ups, 200, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, just like a Murph, and just go back and forth, back and forth. When you're done with those, you bear crawl 400 meters. When you're done with that, you do 100 push press with that sandbag. Once again, simulating a log PT. Going to go just like you do overhead presses with a log. And then next, you're going to do 100 lunges per leg, sand baby chest carry. Then you're going to do a fireman carry 400 meters. And you can switch with your partner. So you and your partner can do 200 meters at a time. 100 meters on, 100 meters off, however you want to do it, but split it with a partner. Or if you don't have a partner, you can do a farmer walk, two dumbbells in your hands, and run it for 400 meters or, you know, fast walk. Then you have 150 squats to do with the sandbag, and you can mix that with 150 chest carry sit-ups. And all these exercises are what you're going to be doing when you do log PT. You're going to be doing push presses. You're going to be chest carry lunges, shoulder carry squats, chest carry sit-ups. They may have you do some push-ups in there. Those aren't really hard. More teamwork issues. And the hardest part's running with the log, you know, whether it's a chest carry run or a shoulder carry run. It's just uncomfortable. It's not that heavy because you're distributing the weight of the log between your boat crew. Usually averages around 40, 50 pounds. There may be a moment when somebody's ducking the log and you're going to feel the pain of that. So that's just bad luck. Definitely want to have some. We got one after you do the 150 sit-ups, you do a 1 mile run, and then you do a quarter mile walking lunges, no weight, and a 1 mile run. So that is it. And the goal of that workout is to see if 2 days later, after you do that, you're not sore from that and you're able to run your 4 mile timed run normally. Because I promise you, you will be glad that your legs are able to recover from that kind of volume whenever you get to Buds or any place that has log as part of their assessment training. So that's all I have on that. If you have questions on the Sand Baby Devil Murph, one, you can Google it. Two, you can ask it. But that's why we do it. That's how we do it. Tom says, the quarter mile burpee broad jump, what will you think of next? We've actually been doing this for over 10 years. So the burpee broad jumps, nothing new. I remember when we invented this Sand Baby Devil Murph, and I think it was 2012 when I came up with it. And it was pretty fun. I mean, those guys that did all that are SEALs today, 10 years later, and getting after it. So just a fun group of guys that we came up with some new ideas. So Alex says, so let me check over here, see what, see if there's any questions over on Instagram. Where is your YouTube information posted? On my YouTube channel. So if you go to YouTube is a giant search engine for videos. I have over 500 videos on YouTube. If you did not know that, maybe you're new to the game. That's okay. I've been posting swim videos since YouTube came out in what, 2005? There's some old ones. Looks like I videotaped some of those with a, you know, VHS recorder. But they're still good, right? They're not as great as today's technology with this phone. This phone is unbelievable. You know, the things I can do with that phone compared to what I couldn't do, you know, had to do to get a video up on YouTube back in 2003. So, yeah, Stu Smith 50 is my address for Instagram and TikTok. TikTok's nothing but combat swimmer stroke videos. You don't have to download the app if you don't want to download the app. You can just go to the website, TikTok.com Twitter.com/@StuSmith50. However, my YouTube channel is Stu50Smith. Wish I could have been a little more consistent with that one, but I was not when I originally did it. So there you go. Let me see. One more time. Scroll through these. See if there's any questions over on Instagram. I don't see any over on Instagram. If I missed them, there's a lot to scroll here. So, yeah, if I missed them, just ask again or come over to YouTube and start posting questions over there. They're a little bit easier to read them. So somebody says, my family tells me that I don't know what I'm getting myself into by wanting to become a Navy SEAL. Well, it's true. You probably don't. I mean, not many of us do when we want to do this. That's why I say you have to do your research. In fact, one of my favorite website articles is called Spec Ops Prep. List of articles, one-stop shop. This will get you on your way. Now, I know this is over on Instagram. So if you go to Google and search Stu Smith Spec Ops articles, one-stop shop, you will see the article I'm talking about. And it is a laundry list of things that will get you on your way so you know what you're getting into. It has podcasts on there. It has more articles on there. If you're a young kid, don't be in a hurry to get there. You know, it's not something that you have to do when you're 18 years old. I would recommend going a little bit older, to be quite honest. A lot of 18-year-olders go to BUDS, and most of them don't make it. You know, and that is, I'm not being mean to 18-year-olds. I'm just sharing you some statistics. The majority of those kids that do not make it are in their teens. So, now, that doesn't mean 20-year-olds don't make it either. But, you know, I remember our BUDS class started off, it looked like a high school graduation party. And then by Hell Week, I think we had 3 18-year-olds left. So we lost probably about 100 18-year-olds. All right. So, but yeah, do your research. Know what you're getting yourself into. Ask questions. Work out hard so you're ready. All right. Let's see. Usually, is it possible to maintain the same physical level, running, strength, and conditioning between selection and operational life? Yes and no. Here's the problem with that. You can get in really great shape in your operational life, but in your between your selection is really beating you up. You know, it's not necessarily going to make you like in the best shape of your life. You're getting tested, the hardest you've ever been tested, doesn't necessarily mean you're in the best shape of your life. You are actually borderline, if not over the line, overtraining all the time and sleeping like crap. And you get, hopefully you get some good food depending on the school you're going through. That's going to be helpful. But yeah, you're going to be able to endure a lot, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're in peak physical fitness shape, right? You're borderline burned out. I won't lie to you. I remember after BUDS, I literally did not want to work out for about a month. I did, and it wasn't pretty. I didn't do a whole lot, but then by the time I got into the team, then it started. Your workout started picking up again, and I started using the seasonal model. That's where I created it. You know, in the winter, we would lift more to put on some mass. In the summer, you know, spring and summer, we would run and PT more. deal with, you know, some of the endurance issues that come up with training. But it just enabled us to get good at all the elements of fitness versus just focusing on selection stuff. Because it is a different phase of fitness. In fact, tactical fitness, I break it up into three, and you can even say four phases. One, you're preparing to get yourself to the training. That means you are trying to crush fitness tests to make yourself eligible for training, get a contract, whatever you want to call it. Phase two is to prepare yourself specifically for the selection, boot camp, academy that you are preparing for. Phase three is your operational life. And I promise you that operational life workout will look a lot different from what you just endured in phase one and phase two. It's not as much mileage, still mileage, more lifting. You see guys get a lot bigger in the teams once they're in the teams, but they're still able to run and swim. So it's a little bit different. Then phase four is your post-operational life, retirement, and that's a completely different animal as well. So think about that when you're considering the journey of tactical fitness. Because if you screw up your phases or skip a phase, you're probably doomed to be seriously injured or fail. Where I see a lot of people screw up is I see guys that are trying to pass a fitness test doing workouts that operators are doing. They have nothing to do with passing a fitness test. So there you go. Let's see. Next question. Hey, I keep failing the ASFAB. Do you have any tips, channels, or good books I can use to study and get better? Josh, man, that's kind of not my thing. You know, I deal with the fitness side. However, I have helped people with their ASFAB issues. And really, it's all about learning to take the test. So go to Amazon.com and do an Barron's Guide to ASFAB. And you should be taking three or four practice tests before you take your official test. Not unlike you would prepare for a PST. You want to take that PST several times before you, take your official PST. Very similar. So practice that ASFAB. Learn how to do the ASFAB. I'm sure there's online tutorials somewhere. It's just not something I deal with unless somebody here locally asks me about it. Does SWCC have scuba and jump training? Yes, I think. I don't know about scuba. That's a good question. They do jump. I imagine you could get scuba qualified and be in SWCC. But I'm not sure if it's specific to their training. I'm not sure why it would be. It's funny, I've been listening to so much of your lives that my girlfriend's starting to say, hello, everybody, Stu Smith here. That is my line, man. That's my line. Did I do that today? I didn't even realize I did it today. So it's not part of any script. I just say it. So it's definitely a habit. Over here on Instagram, got another question. Stu from the EU here. I am thinking of joining the Army next year. I'm 25 now. Any advice? Did you in your career encounter someone who joined later? Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's you can't think of it as this 18 to 20 year old very tight window. You know, it usually goes 18 to 30. You know, that's not a window. That's a garage door. I mean, you can drive that thing anytime you want in your younger life. So 25 is not old. In fact, I was probably at my best shape of my life between 25 and 35. You know, cardiovascularly, strength-wise, you know, once you quit growing, you can actually use some of those exercises to really get strong and really get faster. So yeah, I would break it down into your phases. Phase one, you got a fitness test that you have to crush. You should be preparing for that fitness test. Then you have a boot camp or selection that you have to crush, basic training, whatever. I'm not sure what they call it there in the EU, what country you're a part of, but you have to crush that. So you should train specifically for those events as well. And if you do that, you'll be prepared. All right. Let's see. What's an optional tempo for cows? Optimal tempo for cows during training? You know, great question, but it also depends. There are some tests out there that are cadence controlled. So, like, for instance, the Naval Academy push-up test, not the regular Navy. They may go into this. They're testing it out right now. They do a cadence push-up. So the max you can do in 2 minutes is 60. But that means your down and up is 2 seconds. Down, up, down, up, down. Coast Guard does cadence push-ups. And it makes them harder. You know, well, it's the same amount of effort, roughly. It's just different. So if you're used to cranking out push-ups really fast, that's, you know, it's just going to be different. You need to practice those specific things. So my answer to that is it depends on how your test is graded and how it is conducted. So if it's conducted on a cadence, then you need to practice slower reps. If it's as many as you can in a short period of time, 1 minute or 2 minutes, then your pace matters. Your pace is going to be a lot different if it's a 1 minute test compared to a 2 minute test, compared to a 3 minute test, which some programs out there have 3 minute tests of push-ups and sit-ups, and those suck. You have to get in shape for 3 minute push-up test. So hope that answered your question, Alex. See, Mikhail, I don't recall what you said about training when sick. Anything in the head is okay, sore throat okay too, but anything in the lungs a no-go? Yes, that's what I usually say. So head colds, you can usually suck that up. In fact, sometimes I feel better, you know, getting a run in or a swim in, kind of clears your head. Might be a little harder breathing through the nose, so you might have to do some mouth breathing. That's okay. You got to learn how to be a mouth breather when you're wearing a mask anyway, when you're swimming. But yeah, once it starts getting into the throat, it depends, you know, because cold weather, arid environments, that tends to hurt the throat when you're inhaling a lot. You can turn that into bronchitis real quick. That's what happened to me a couple years ago. Especially if it's an allergy season, you got allergens coming in there too, and it's just a mess. So yeah, I had bronchitis that way, and that sucked. I got time for bronchitis. But then, yeah, once it's in the lungs, I would do things that are very low heart rate activities. You can still do something, but anything that's starting to make you cough, usually an elevated heart rate will start making you cough. Don't recommend doing that. It's just something, one, it spreads germs, two, it overworks your heart. And a lot of people have heart issues. So, you know, if you're a young guy, it's not a big deal, but overworking your heart, still not good for you. So take a few rest days and go light. What does a career progression look like for SEAL officers in 2022? I've seen internet chatter that it's become incredibly competitive for guys looking to become platoon OICs. Yes, they made a selection program for platoon OICs. So, I mean, it goes to basically the best lieutenants will be the SEAL OICs, and that's what you want anyway. So it's not like it's that difficult of a competition, but it is a competition. You know, you're going to see a hierarchy in performance in junior officers and officers, and that matters. So just be a good dude and get things done. You know, if you screw up, take responsibility for it, fix it. You know, there's not a whole lot to it. But you'll see when you're in. You'll see the guys that you should emulate when you get in. You know, you can learn from them what to do as well as what not to do. You know, I think that's a very valuable tool. You know, if you can learn from other people's mistakes, even better. William over here on Instagram says, I've been doing a lot of pull-ups and I've developed some bicep tendonitis when I flex. Yeah, do less pull-ups. You know, something you might be able to do, first of all, don't do pull-ups every day. Chances are you're just doing too much and you got tendonitis. That's all that is. It's an overuse injury. So you just did too much too soon, and that's not smart. But if you're still looking at maybe doing some, you can resort to pull downs. See if that hurts. If that hurts, then I'd probably lay off all pull-ups. But change the grip. See if that works. See if a reverse grip feels better, a prone grip, close grip, probably wider grips, probably not going to work. Maybe even an alternating grip. Depending on which arm hurts, can do it that way. but I would test it this way. If pull downs hurt, then I would not do pull ups. And you can play around with the grips, and you may find, you know, the grips on a pull down, if close or reverse, may feel a little better. But yeah, don't do daily pull ups. You're just asking for tendonitis. Period. So I treat pull-ups like I do heavy weightlifting, right? If I'm doing bench press, I'm probably not going to do a lot of bench press, especially if I'm going heavy, in a week. I might do it once sometimes, twice sometimes, and at the most, depending on my cycle, I might do it a third time, but it's different. You know, it's not like I'm one rep maxing anything. It's like today we did how many reps can you get of 135, you know, for four sets. And the goal was try to get 100 reps in four sets of 135. So it was like cranking out some reps. So William says, how many days would you train doing pull-ups? So William, I want you to Google three favorite workouts to crush fitness tests. Google that. If you were over here on, if you were over here on YouTube, I can just post it in the comments and you can cut and paste it and pull it up. But Google my three favorite workouts to crush fitness tests, and that will show you three workouts a week: Monday, Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. I don't know, care how you do it. Spread it out 3 days in a week in 7 days. And that's how many times you do pull-ups. Good question. But that is, you know, I've answered that question like that for over 20 years. So it's been out there. So I don't know how many times. In fact, I've probably written some articles. If you Google don't do daily pull-ups, let me try that. Don't do daily pull-ups. Put my name in it, in the Google machine, and what's it pop out? Yeah, need help with pull-ups? Consider these three options. One of those options is don't do daily pull-ups. Oh, here's a good article. Daily push-ups and pull-ups. Why? Question mark. Oh, here's another article. Stop doing pull-ups and push-ups every day. Workout do's and don'ts for trying to max out pull-ups. One of them is don't do daily pull-ups. So the information is out there. I don't know why people miss that one. So, all right, let's see. What's next question here? That was a fun one. Can you talk about scaling running and swimming distances? Scaling them up, I would assume, or scaling them down? Because we do both. I treat my, especially running, I treat my running like a giant bell curve spread throughout the year. So in January, which is coming up, we're pretty low. Let me put it over here for you. So in January, we're pretty low. And then in the spring, we start ramping it up. In the summer, we peak. And then in the fall, we come back down. Right? So that is how we scale running. Swimming, it's not really that big a deal. You know, swimming is not going to hurt you unless you're really doing a lot of freestyle. So we typically just swim anywhere between 2,000 and 4,000 yards. A swim anywhere from 4 to 5 days a week. So if you're keeping your swim somewhere between 8 and 12,000 yards a week, that's plenty. Half of those with fins, half of those without fins. You can also count a 10-minute tread as 500 yards of swimming. That's what I do, because treading is vertical swimming, in my opinion. And don't skip treading, because a lot of people screw up treading. But yeah, that's how we do it. But if you're looking at ramping up, like this program, let me see, where my programs go. Okay, so you'll like this. So these are my new seasonal tactical fitness periodization models. So fall is what we're doing right now. Fall training. These are advanced spec ops level training programs: running, swimming, rucking, lifting, calisthenics. And then fall goes into winter. We're going to do this winter. Right? So winter lift cycle. Got to see that over there. And then we got the spring. So spring cardio with running progression. We actually progress about 15% in the spring. And you can look at the bottom of the page of each workout page and see how far we go. So like week one, we've probably at like 10 to 12 miles. And then by week 12, we have built up to probably about 20. Yeah, 20 to 25, depending on if you choose a ruck or not. But in the summer, we're going to take that and take it up to 40. Now, here's the cool thing, is these are brand new programs, seasonal tactical fitness periodization. It's what I do. Google it. And it is the system I use and I've been using for over 20 years. Been developing it for 20 years, making changes to it, added block periodization to it as a model. That's been really good. And it just enables you to get good at all the elements of fitness and not expose or not leave a weakness to be exposed, because you're just skipping it because you don't like doing it. So a lot of strength guys are weak in endurance. A lot of endurance guys are weak in strength. They tend to like to do the things they are good at doing versus things they are not good at doing. But if you leave any of those weaknesses on the table in any type of tactical profession, you're taking a risk. You're taking a risk at either being injured or you're taking a risk of falling apart and not meeting the standard. So, yeah, I'll have my summer one done this week. I was working on it all weekend, and I've got the workout about 50% complete, and it looks like my running progression for that one is just going to go right up to a peak of about between 38, 40 miles a week. It's going to be tough, but it'd be fun. I often have shoulder pain while doing pull-ups and dips. Any suggestions? You know, change hand grips, see if that helps. Warm up a little more, stretch more. Work on some just basic shoulder mobility stuff. And if you're still feeling pain when you're doing some of those things, I would probably go see a physical therapist, doctor, physical therapist, and see what's up. could just be overuse. You know, stop doing daily push-ups and dips and pull-ups if you are. You know, maximum 3 days a week. I'd probably drop it down to two if you're having pain like that. Or zero. Might need a 0 week of upper body and just make it a lower body week with running and other cardio. A lot of core. Can you take over-the-counter medication like Sudafed or ibuprofen during BUDS? You can, but it has to be prescribed by somebody in the medical world at BUDS. So, I mean, we would have class corpsmen, you know, in our BUDS class, and they would get medications from BUDS Medical for us when we needed it. But now they don't have class corpsmen anymore because everybody comes from the street. Nobody's going to A schools before they go to BUDS. So it depends. So William says he just graduated college last Saturday, played offense line at 320. Damn! But not a sloppy 320. That's still big. I'm going to be a Navy SEAL. I would definitely lose 100 pounds if I were you. And, yeah, I think you're the same guy that was doing daily pull-ups. That's why you have bad elbows or shoulders, is because of that 300-pound pull-up is a bitch. So, yeah, be careful with that one. I would avoid, I would mostly do non-impact cardio if I were you. At 320, your knees will thank you for it. So, yeah. We actually have been working with a guy who played pro football for a year and a half. Was it like 315 like you? And he's down to about 215 now and just crushing the PST, but it took a year. So it's going to take you some time. Be patient. Don't do too much too soon, or you won't be able to train because you got overuse injuries. Another question over here from Instagram says, do you recommend ruck training for SWAT or HRT? Absolutely. Rucks, you know, gear, load bearing, running, stairs, a lot of stair, hill runs. I would definitely do all that. It's a bunch of leg work. And let me tell you, especially the HRT, those guys, a lot of former SEALs and Special Forces guys, they run a selection the way BUDS runs Hell Week. It is no joke. We've had a few guys, you know, go through that course and do well and are HRT guys now. And they came back pretty beat up after that selection. In your programs, when you say run a certain distance, example, 2 miles, and it doesn't say timed, how fast should you run those? Good question. You know, I'm not very consistent on whether or not you should run a timed 2 mile run or a steady paced 2 mile run. That's kind of up to you and how you feel. If you feel like you can crush a 2 mile run, even though I didn't say timed by it, go crush it. But you're feeling like crap and you just want to get 2 miles in and be at zone 2 of your heart rate, that's fine too. Kind of depends on you that day. But don't blow off the timed run events because you learn a lot from those. So there you go. Can I talk about good mobility and rehab exercises to do in the pool? Yeah, man, absolutely. In fact, I have a great article on that. If you do a Google search mobility day, Stu Smith, don't skip mobility day. That's a good one. Basically it should have something in there. Yeah, it has pictures of them all in there too. So you can see treading, you can see running in place, you can see leg swings. So what I would suggest, if you're curious about what kind of mobility exercises to do, check out this link that I just put in the comment section called Don't Skip Mobility Day, because it's really good. It's a really good article. It's got some great pictures. But you can also go to any YouTube video that has dynamic stretches in it. So think about it before you were running a soccer game or a football game or something. You're out there jogging, you're doing high knees, you're doing karaoke, you're doing crossovers, you're doing, you know, Frankenstein walks, you're doing all kinds of, you know, butt kickers. Those are great dynamic exercises that you can do in chest deep water that will change your life, especially if you're old like me and have bad hips from just years of running. I don't have bad hips, but I had tight hips at one point. Now I have good hips, and my hips are more flexible now than they were when I was 25 because I actually do mobility training. So my mobility day is no joke. It's hard, but it's easy compared to other workouts. So, but it's been life-changing. So don't skip mobility day. Google it. It's a thing. Even young guys, they need mobility days. And if you're going to Buds or something that's very hard for 5 days in a row, like Monday through Friday, and then you get the weekends off, you're going to want to spend those weekends doing mobility day type training. Non-impact cardio followed by some stretching, foam rolling, dynamic stretches, treading, you know, all of those skills are going to really help you work off some of that soreness that occurs when you're just overdoing it. Let's see, what else? Do I think free diving class will help with water confidence? Sure. I never did it. I did a scuba course before Buds, but I never did free diving. I mean, I'd go snorkeling. I grew up in North Florida where there's this bunch of freshwater springs, crystal clear water, and just awesome. And we would do snorkels, you know, breath hold stuff. But yeah, I had water confidence just from swimming all the time in North Florida. But yeah, you can try it. Oh, let's see. When you finish the summer seasonal tactical fitness and post it, is there going to be a bundle with all four or something like a holiday sale? Well, I thought about that. And I have a Compete 20 where you can save 20%. So you're basically, if you buy all four, you're basically almost getting a book for free. So I thought about doing buy three, get all four. I may do that. But I may just also do the 20% off. Maybe I'll do a 25% off special for that one. You know, so you basically still get the book for free. I'm not sure how I'm going to do that. Yeah, you know, I'll ask my web guys what they think. But yeah, there'll be a deal. But it's a really cool series. It is 13 weeks of each season. So 13 times 4 is 52 weeks. And that 13th week is a testing week, where you're testing all the elements that you've been working on for the last 12 weeks and some of the new ones that you're going to be tested on in the next cycle. So you can kind of see how you improved and where you need to improve, and the next cycle is going to address what you need to improve on the next one while you maintain everything from the previous cycle. That's the key to seasonal tactical fitness periodization. Right, it is actually a system that allows you to go through the year without burning out and hurting yourself, because even in that summer cycle, we're not going to be running 40 miles for, you know, several months. You know, you hit that 40 miles, you stay there for a few weeks, and you start coming down slowly, 38, 36, 35. You know, you come back down to, you know, roughly a maintenance in the winter of like 15 to 20. So yeah, you never stop running, even in a lift cycle. And you never stop lifting, even in a calisthenics cardio cycle. There's a little block periodization option for you to throw in a lift week if you're having issues with maybe maintaining some of your strength that you work so hard in the winter to maintain. So that's why I like the system. It works really well for tactical athletes. Not so great for your typical athlete, because it really addresses more elements of fitness than most athletes need, because an athlete needs to specialize in a particular block of fitness. Like a football player needs to be strong, powerful, with speed and agility. Yeah, you need some endurance too, but not, you don't need a lot. Like these programs add to that strength cycle. They're still running and swimming and rucking, even though you're lifting. Not a lot like the summer, but there's some there just to maintain your cardio. So that's the difference between kind of like the tactical athlete and the athlete. Same exercises, just a different choreography for all of them. Let's see. Got another question over here on Instagram. Just curious, when I go sit at the bottom of a dive tank at school, the pressure will kill my ears. Yeah, you need to take a scuba course and understand what the Valsalva maneuver is. It's you hold your nose and blow through your nose, and it will equalize the pressure in your ears. That is like scuba diving 101. So one, don't do it, because you can actually pierce your eardrum and then you can't dive for 6 months because you jacked up your eardrums. Or you could be medically disqualified to dive at all, which, guess what? You're not going to pass a dive physical and you won't go to Buds. So stop doing stuff that doesn't matter now. For you at 320, the last thing you need to be doing is sitting there on the bottom of a pool holding your breath. You know, get out, walk your ass off, literally, and start working out smartly so you're not getting tendonitis. All right, so Bubba Joe says, thanks, Stu, for all you do. How do I train myself to be able to work on low sleep without coffee? I'm nervous about boot camp, falling asleep in classes. I drink about a cup a day. Yeah, you know, a cup a day is not going to hurt you. You know, if you're drinking like 8 cups a day, you'd probably have a caffeine addiction. Though I'm not 100% sure how that works at boot camp. I remember at Buds, you could have coffee if you wanted to at meals. In fact, during Hell Week, we would get a hot cup of coffee, put it in our hands like this, and just let it warm your hands because you were freezing your ass off. Didn't even drink it. Just let it warm us. But if you're having a hard time staying awake in class, the old classic, go to the back of the room, stand up, do some push-ups, do some squats. That'll wake you up, and just keep standing. You know, plus it gives you a little excuse to drop down, do some push-ups. Every time you feel like you're falling asleep, do some squats and push-ups. That'll work. Let's see. Hey, Stu, I'm in my 40s. I wish I was in my 40s. No, that's good. I'm just kidding. If I were to complete all the tactical fitness 40-plus programs, would I achieve a level of fitness to complete the new seasonal tactical fitness programs? Absolutely. In fact, I got a great email from a guy who was broken when he started it, and he started the tactical fitness periodization. Started the tactical fitness over 40 foundation rebuilding for those that are injured or beginners, and built himself up, did the next level, taking it to the next level. And then he took it to level 3, which you'll see when you go to level 3 and level 4 of that 4-part series, Those are very advanced workouts. In fact, I would say the level four are my workouts that I do now when I'm working with young guys that are preparing for spec ops training. So it takes you from level one to level four to a decent level. And that level four workout, the tactical fitness for athletes over 40, the peak of that system, takes you through all four seasons of seasonal tactical fitness periodization. It's four-week blocks for a total of 16 weeks. So you'll go through a spring, a summer, you know, just to kind of get a feel for what that system is in a 16-week introduction. And then you absolutely could go into any of the seasonal tactical fitness programs after that. I didn't plan it to work that way, but I've had many people who have done all four start doing that and go into the seasonal programming, which is really good because these seasonals are advanced workouts. I mean, they're no joke. They're what I'm doing now with the guys that are getting ready for spec ops. Currently doing the cows and cardio workout. Yeah, I love that one. That I have to say, that one is one of my favorites. I think I have it right here. Boom, cows and cardio. One of my favorites when it comes to training. And I used to be a power lifter, so the fact that I like cows and cardio has been a long journey for me to get to a point where I enjoy cows and cardio. Let's see. I'm trying to look for any more questions. We got a bunch of questions over here on YouTube, so I'm going to answer these guys first. Is 20, 25 miles a week sufficient at a 6 and 7 mile pace for buds? Yes, I think so. But you can also take a few weeks and go a little harder. You know, if you wanted to go 35. But yeah, I would think no less than that for sure. And as long as you can run a 28-minute 4 mile easy, that's good. Now, there's nothing wrong with going through cycles of running where you add in a few, maybe a long, slow distance run to build up some mileage. Nothing wrong with that. I just don't recommend doing it too much because a lot of people do that and then they just get good at running slow and they haven't pushed themselves to that 6-7 minute mile pace that they need to be a competitive student at training. So that's the key to that type of running, is you want it to be well above the minimum standard and into the competitive standards. Next question. In your experience, what's the best way to maximize salary when serving? Additional languages, any special skills? Yeah, I think you get language money. If you live in a high cost area, you get more money for VHA, variable housing allowance. In fact, I think, you know, guys that are in San Diego are probably making almost an extra $3,000 a month just to pay rent out there. I don't think it's quite that much. Might be like $2,800 last I checked. But yeah, living in those places. Now, if you can find a good deal where you're not spending all of that, you might be able to pocket a few $100, but typically you're going to spend it all. If you can buy a place, it's even better because then you're not really losing it. You're actually investing that $3,000 every month and then you can sell the house or rent the house out later. But yeah, I mean, hazardous duty pay, dive pay, jump pay, language pay. You know, all of those are pays that you'll get when you go through buds and into the teams. And if you're, you know, proficient at a language, you'll get language pay. Hey, Stu, what's up? Your free 8-week running program's doing wonders for my 4 mile time. Oh, good. Yeah, that's a good running program. Running plan to help you get to and through buds is the name of that one. And all it is 20 miles a week, but it is a fast 20 miles a week. And, you know, I personally, when I'm progressing and running, I like to build up to a level. And let's say I build up to from 25 to 30. Takes me a month to do that. And then I like to stay there for a month or so. And now work those other miles a little faster. So I might be at an 8-minute mile for half of those miles. Now I'm going to try to bust it down to like a 7-minute mile or go into a 6-minute mile, depending on, you know, what your goals are. But yeah, that's a good program to at least learn a system of running, and then you can add more mileage to it as you desire. Let's see, with regards to seasonal training, what is the best season to enter buds in? You know what? I don't really don't have a good answer for that. I've seen a lot of people enjoy going in, you know, in the spring and then not having a summer hell week. You know, sometimes the summer hell weeks get hot and you run a lot because you can't get cold. So you're a little swollen at the end of a hell week. But in the winter, it's so cold, they're just going to keep you cold. You don't run as much. But when you do, you're just running to get warm and you kind of enjoy that. And you don't swell as much. So I guess overall, they have higher attrition in the winter than they do in the summer. So I really don't have an answer for you. You're probably going to feel less pain as far as like post hell week pain in the winter than you do in the summer. I went through right in the middle of that. So I went through in October. I think Halloween was shortly after my hell week. So I remember a Halloween party after hell week. So, and the World Series was occurring. Not sure. It's somewhere in October. So, that wasn't bad. It wasn't too hot during the day. The water hadn't gotten cold yet. Still a hard hell week. We lost half the class. So, when are you going to drop the seasonal tactical fitness? I already have. These are already online. Seasonal tactical fitness, fall, spring. I am just almost done with summer. So it's taken me last 6 months to get these three done. And I'm almost done with my summer program for next year. And I'll be done before Christmas. In fact, I'll probably be done this week, if I'm being optimistic about it, because I'm about halfway done with the workout. I finished all the text of the explanations of exercises and workouts and stuff. And now I just have about another 6 more weeks of workouts. I'll be finished with that. Could even be finished today or tomorrow with that. And then I got to go through the edits and get it up on the store. So it could be up on the store by the end of this week. And I'll put all 4 of them up there. I mean, 3 of them are up there now. You go to stewsmithfitness.com, you'll see the seasonal tactical fitness pop up right on that first page. Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you like that. It's a great Christmas gift. So for buds, I heard recent hell weeks first phase were resulting in much higher attrition rates than normal. Was that fixed? Do you have any data on recent class hell week success? Yes. There have been more people pass recent hell weeks as compared to hell weeks a year and a half ago. That is fact. Are they easier? No. Are they not unsustainably hard anymore? Yes. Yeah, they were unsustainably hard and not normal. Now you have a normal attrition rate of about 75 to 80% instead of 90 to 95%. That's what it was a few years ago. Some people say Bud's got easy. I said, no, Bud's got normal. That was abnormal, seeing a 90, 95% attrition rate. And it was probably a result of the COVID delay. There was a huge mass of people trying to get through Bud's that weren't able to go through Bud's because they shut down Bud's for a while. And then it just kept accumulating all these people. And it was like gloves were off and they were just trying to get the numbers down. And I think they just went a little bit too far with getting the numbers down and too long, to a point where there's some year groups now, if you didn't make it in 19 and 20, chances are those year groups are so undermanned that they'll be taking a lot more fleet guys to fill those spots in those year groups. So it offers some opportunity, as well as I'm glad they fixed it, because like I said, it was unsustainably toxic for the community, in my opinion. Is there any further updates on the 800 school or Dive Mo coming back? There were rumors that it was supposed to be back sometime soon. Was wondering if you heard any updates. Have not heard any official updates. I've heard the same ones you have, that it's supposedly coming back. They got rid of it mainly because they weren't seeing results out of it anyway. You know, people were still finishing boot camp and deconditioned from where they need to be in the first place. So I don't know why they stopped it, but they did. Testing it out to see if they really need it or not, I guess. All right, so I've been on for an hour. I'm going to shut down over here on Instagram, take a few last questions over here on YouTube. But you guys on Instagram, I do these Monday and Tuesday, 9 o'clock, if you ever want to see them. And if you can't stick around for all of these, or if you missed the first half of it, I have them posted all up on my YouTube channel, Stu50Smith. If you Google that, you'll find it. So Instagram, I will see you later. Check out Stu50Smith. TikTok for CSS critiques, and StuSmithFitness.com for more programming. We'll see you later. So for you guys here on YouTube, I'll finish up. It's been an hour. I don't like to go longer than an hour. People just tend not to listen whenever you go for an hour. So I'll answer a few more questions, and then if you would, I'll save them for tomorrow if I don't get to all of them. If you don't ruck until third phase, is it really that important to be focused on mileage for rucks? Good question. You should be get good at rucks, because especially if you can do it on soft sand, because soft sand rucking is going to help you with load bearing with logs and boats running. So we use rucking on leg days on the beach every Friday. It's like clockwork. So once a week, we will ruck on the beach, and it's preparing people for load-bearing runs of a great variety in first phase that you will have to endure as well in those first 4 weeks. So don't look at it as a ruck. Look at it as load-bearing training. Good question, though. Beginner to running in sand beach, should I start with running shoes or move directly into boots? Nope. I'd start with running shoes all the time. Usually give yourself a good couple of months of running in the beach before you start adding boots, is my opinion. Wonder what, as well, seemed like guys back in the 80s and 90s, even the 2000s, got more chances at Bud's. Now it's only one rollback. Is that correct? I've seen guys still get two rollbacks over the years. It just depends on the guy. You know, right now they don't need a lot of people. So if you get injured in those first 3 or 4 weeks and you haven't really gotten a lot of sweat equity into the program, chances are you're not going to be rolled. You may be, but you may not. Depends on if you failed anything, You know, if you're a good student, they'll keep you around. So there's a lot of ifs that allow you to be rolled or not. If you're a critical or a chronic failure of multiple events and you took you three times to pass all of them and you get rolled on or you get injured on week three versus post hell week and into die phase, you know, they'll probably keep you right in die phase versus the third week. So you got to put some time in before they really realize you're a good student. You know, it sucks. I've seen guys who I know were going to be really good students break their ankle in the first few weeks, have to stick around there forever to get surgery, and they get back in the class and ankle's not quite healed 100%, and you know they don't make it through. And then I've seen some guys make it through because they've been able to get rolled. Some guys weren't able to get rolled and got dropped. So it's very subjective. It depends on you and your performance whether or not you're going to get rolled or not. Even now. So what program does your in-person group follow? These. In fact, I get the ideas to write these every day from training my guys that are being Marines and SEALs and PJs and SF guys. These are all Spec Ops level workouts. If anything, if you're kind of a beginner, you could still use them, but you're going to have to adjust accordingly. But yeah, these, in fact, right now we are doing this one. Fall transition training, we're mixing calisthenics, weights, cardio. That's what we're doing right now, locally. I actually made these in advance to what we're doing, and probably I'd say we're 90% doing this. I may make some changes depending on the group, but for the most part, 90% of our programs coming from these seasonal tactical fitness periodization programs, because I have been using seasonal tactical fitness periodization for almost 25 years now. I never called it that. I used to call it periodization. Or in fact, if you ever see the second book I wrote called Maximum Fitness, it's a 52-week program. And it is my first attempt of writing a program wrapped around the seasons of tactical fitness. And it's the exact same thing I'm doing now, just a whole lot different with workouts. Yeah, Bud Studs confirms they're giving out rolls. I've known a few guys get rolled recently, and they're still in the program. What program does your in-person group? I just answered that, didn't I? You asked it twice, Yates. What's up? Okay, what weight should I start running at 230 or 240? ? Yeah, I mean, you can still run. I mean, you're a football player, so you probably have some ability to run even at 320. I just wouldn't run a lot at that. So, you know, maybe hit some quarter miles. You know, don't go for a 10-mile run at 320 pounds. You know, that's idiotic. I would rather you just bike for an hour, right, or swim for an hour to burn that many calories without the impact pain of 320 pounds hitting those knees, shins, and ankles. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, 320 is fine. But even then, 230 is fine. But even then, you know, you should treat your cardio the way a triathlete trains. What I mean by that is 2/3 of your cardio should be non-impact cardio. The other third can be a combination between walking, rucking, and running. So treat it that way. Bike, swim, row, elliptical. You know, don't eat like a football player anymore. And yeah, try to lose some weight. Good question, though. Welcome over here there, William. Sorry to beat up on you a little bit, but I always have to go nuts when I hear people doing daily high rep calisthenics because it's going to break you. All right, folks. So I'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening. I got to write an article today, and I'll be back tomorrow with some swim video critiques, and we can talk about something else. Not quite sure what we'll talk about. Maybe the basics. getting good at the basics, mastering the basics. I think that might be a good discussion. All right, folks, check out StuSmithFitness.com, and I will chat with you later. Have a good one.